Good morning.
Good morning.
Please be seated. A very warm welcome to you and those listening online this morning. A few pieces of information for you. First of all, some prayer news. Please would you remember Deacon Sarah, who came to us over the coronation weekend last year. She has been diagnosed with breast cancer, so if you could remember her in your prayers, please. Also, we remember Jackie and the family. Granddad Robert, or Bob, it's his funeral on Thursday at 1:30 in Edinburgh, so if you could remember them, please. Thank you. Two other notices. You will see at the back there are sign-up sheets for Good Friday. So we have the Walk of Witness, which starts at 11 o'clock, and you see the sign on the front door for that as well. But also we're looking for people to bring hot cross buns, to maybe butter them and serve them out here in the church, because after the service, just across the road, everybody will be coming back here as usual. So if you're interested or can help in that, that would be much appreciated. Also, St. George's Day, there will be some youth work happening in the town. From 10 o'clock until 2 o'clock in 1-hour slots. So if you'd like to get involved in that, please sign up at the back or have a word with Rachel for either of those events. So I'd like to introduce, as many of you already know, but it's lovely to introduce Reverend Dr. Janet Whitten to be with us this morning. We always look forward to you coming, and we're looking forward to hear what you've got to say to us. So over to you.
How lovely to be here with you again. It's a great pleasure to come, and today my husband's come with me, Chris, and you'll be hearing his voice during the service, but possibly not exactly as you expect. So, happy Mothering Sunday. The children are going to be joining us later in the service, and there'll be a little something, I think, for all the ladies present, but we wait to find out what's happening. I'm going to begin, though, with the call of the prophet Isaiah. He records this as his calling in Isaiah chapter 6, and it's a lovely passage. I'm going to begin with a few verses from it, and then after we've sung our opening hymn, lead into prayer as that passage goes on. He says this, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the whole temple. Above him were seraphim, burning creatures, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory.' And at the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke." So we're hoping that the doorposts and the thresholds aren't going to shake here. And if there's any smoke around, we want it only to be the glory of the Lord. But we're here in the presence of that same God. So let's sing together the hymn, "The God of Abram Prays."
Oh,
Wow, fantastic. And the last two verses where you pulled out all the stops were just great, or a few stops and then more stops. And I do believe we ended on a major chord, did we? Yes, lovely, that was fabulous. I just, you all noticed that, of course, but it's just lovely. So we stand in the presence of our great and glorious God. And Isaiah's response was like ours would be, I think, if we recognized God's presence here. And that is to say this, "Woe is me," I cried. "I'm ruined. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I've come from a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." So let us pray. Loving God, when we come into your presence, sometimes we do so unthinking. Sometimes we do so feeling as though it's our right to come into your presence. But we know that, like the prophet Isaiah and like so many others in Scripture, our first response is, we're not worthy to be in your presence. We know that our lips have spoken lies or harsh words. Our lips have failed to speak your word. Our lips have turned us away from you. And we know that we come from a people of unclean lips. The world around us is full of corruption, hatred, abuse. And so we say, woe is me, we are undone. But then, gracious God, we hear that one of the seraphim, the burning creatures, flew to Isaiah with a live coal in his hand, which he'd taken with tongs from the altar. Even the burning creature couldn't touch the live coal from the altar of God. But with it, Isaiah says, he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." And so we thank you, gracious God, that no matter how our sin, how deep our guilt may be, not through a live coal touching our lips, but by the death, the gracious salvation of our Savior Jesus Christ, our guilt is taken away and our sins atoned for. So now we come into the presence of the Most High God, forgiven, set free by his love for us. Then Isaiah said, "I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?' And I said, 'Here am I, send me.'" Loving God, in this time of worship together, we pray that we may hear that challenge in our hearts. Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And may we have the courage to answer in our hearts, "Here I am. Send me." We come before God, our gracious and mighty God, God our Father and our Mother. And in Jesus' name we pray together in the words that he teaches his followers to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen." Now a reading that's taken from two of the Psalms in the Hebrew Scriptures. They're Psalms of praise and glory, and they both begin in the same way, "Sing to the Lord a new song." We might not like always singing new songs, but it does us good sometimes, and it would do the whole earth good to sing God's new song. It's going to come up on the screen, I think, but there may be pauses from time to time, because we're going to be calling on the whole earth to rejoice and to share in this cry of glory, and the voice of the earth will be heard in response. "Sing to the Lord a new song, for he's done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God.
Oh, how can I sing when you've taken away my voice? How can I proclaim that God has saved us and you condemn me to destruction?
Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with harp. With a harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn, shout for joy before the Lord the King.
Oh no, starvation can't shout. Its mouth is open wide in need. And fatness can't burst into song. Its mouth is stuffed full with what it doesn't need. Ah, oh, what joy or jubilation is there in this? Nah. You keep your harps and trumpets for another day.
Let the sea roar and everything in it.
Oh, yes, I will roar. I'll roar around your coastlines, spewing your plastic waste back onto your beaches, throwing your sewage back, flooding low-lying towns and cities. Hey, eat your heart out, Noah. The biggest flood is on its way.
And everything in it.
Aye. Creatures stranger than you can ever know. How dare you call upon the enigmatic creatures of the sea to praise God when you're plundering, laying waste and destroying?
Be glad, earth and sky?
Oh, you must be joking. What on earth has the sky got to look forward to? More pollution? More greenhouse gases? Ah, and what in heaven has the earth got to make it glad?
The trees in the wood will shout for joy. Come on, trees.
Oh, I'm sorry, but the last area of rainforest has just been cleared. I'm afraid the trees are in mourning. What was it you wanted them to do?
Let them sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity. So the service today is about hearing the voices of many people, but even hearing the voices of creation. And when creation answers the great psalms of jubilation and joy, it may not be always with the words that we're expecting. A challenge comes back because he comes to judge the earth, to judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity. We're going to sing a hymn now by a hymn writer that only died about 20 years ago, Fred Pratt Green. And he's one of the first great new writers of the sort of present age. It's called the Hymn Explosion, and it started in the sort of 1970s, but then it went on and on into our present time, and it gave rise to a lot of new songs, new hymns, and also sparked off the folk revolution, the worship song revolution, and so on, come out of that sort of time, when in our music, God is glorified.
Thank you.
A reading now about a mother and a daughter, the mother coming to Jesus. And I think somebody's going to read this for us. I forgot the name of the... Oh, hello, I'm so sorry. They told me and the name went out of my mind.
The reading is from Mark chapter 7, verses 24 to 30. Jesus left that place and went into the vicinity of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know it, yet he couldn't keep his presence a secret. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by evil spirits came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, born in Syrian Phoenicia. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. "First, let the children eat all they want," he told her, "for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." "Yes, Lord," she replied, "but even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he told her, "For such a reply, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." She went home and found her daughter lying on the bed and the demon gone. Thanks be to God.
The power of the love of a mother who dared come to Jesus. We'll think a bit more about her story later on in the service. But let your mind dwell on the story, perhaps, as our offerings are now received for the work of God in this church. Loving God, we thank you for the many voices of praise and prayer that are raised in this church. We thank you for the voice of salvation and hope that spreads from this church into the surrounding area. We pray that you will help us to use these gifts, that those many voices may be raised and spread, that many may hear the word of Jesus, the love of God, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're going to hear now some voices from South Africa. It's a group of young people who put together a really quite challenging and moving video we think of South Africa in all sorts of different ways, I think. We've known it through the times of apartheid to post-apartheid, amazing things that were happening. And then a sense that the community is still tending to break down. So listen to these voices from these young people.
Dear white people, indaba nibe bomvu manishiswe ilanga.
Dear black people, why do you wipe your face like this when you swim?
Dear Indian people, why is your food so damn hot?
Dear colored people, are you proud that everybody's afraid of you?
Dear woman, why do you play dumb to get attention?
Dear men, why do you buy it?
Dear white people, do your dads also not return when they go out to the shops?
Bantu abamnyama nonke, niyabazonda yini abelungu.
Dear rich people, why don't you use your money to help others?
Dear men, why is it only women fighting for women?
Dear foreigner, don't you realize we have problems of our own?
Dear woman, why in your fight for equality do you strive to push men down?
Dear men, why do you not strive for equality?
Dear men, why does it become
Dear people of South Africa, why have we accepted this culture of discrimination?
Dear South Africa, listen to the unheard cries of our nation.
Listen to the cracks of our great divide.
Listen to the beats of our hearts inside.
They're not that different.
Listen.
Don't only listen to speak next, but listen to understand that we're not just walking subjects.
Listen not only to the people that look like you,
speak like you,
or think like you,
but listen.
We build a wall between us.
Brick by brick, too thick to climb.
Racist.
Sexist.
Bigot.
Stop it.
The differences between you and I were never meant to divide, but unify.
Who decided that superiority has a beard, deep voice, and six-pack?
Or that inferiority has curves, shaved legs, and wears makeup to cover up or was always good enough?
Or that a darker shade of melanin makes you less of a human being? Or that where you were born determines your value?
Since when did being born become a lottery?
And the winning numbers are...
Not black.
Not white.
Not rich.
Not poor.
Not girl.
Not boy.
Not good enough.
You had no say. Dear South Africa, open your eyes. Why do we continue to fight the difference between us when it's the difference that makes us who we are?
While the sufferings of many go unnoticed, we continue in our colorblind state,
hurrying for a clean slate.
We press on to incubate the hate of an undulled fate of the past.
We say we don't see it. I don't see color. I don't see gender. I don't see class.
As if being blind to the injustices and problems makes you a saint.
It doesn't. It makes you a part of the problem.
You never lost your sight. These eyes still see. They just see I instead of we.
Turn back. Look closer. This time is up to you and me.
Dear South Africa,
when will we stop relying on the government to change this nation? Why do we think that some rule or law will result in an attitude alteration?
Do you not smell the rot? Inhale. Why do we think the stench of a system we know is corrupt will stop the corruption in our own hearts? Exhale.
And know that only the people can breathe new life into their land.
That we can stand
hand in hand
and be different.
That's our strength.
Lalelani, look, take it in.
It's up to you
and me.
Yes, you, not them, whoever they may be. Just us. Let's begin to believe that we are the solution. Stop fighting against each other and start fighting for each other.
Who shall change this nation?
Tumamina.
Wie soll uns Nazi verbieten?
Send me.
Who will right the wrongs?
Tumamina.
Ubani ozulungisa maphutha?
Send me.
Who will stand up for justice?
Tumamina.
Ubani ozumelo bulungiso?
Send me.
Dear South Africa, when will the people see the call and stand?
Tumamina. Send me.
And that is freely available on the internet. So I think I sent the, well, I must have sent the link, mustn't I? So I think if you want it, somebody could make it available to watch it through again. I've been involved in publishing a journal, worship journal, called Worship Live over a number of years. And we gathered a lot of material like that. And I had the book with me, and it's in the car. it's called First Flight Feathers, and it's gathered together a lot of new hymns. And one of the pleasures that I've had is encouraging new people to write. And we would have done we'd have shown that. I show it to my students and invite people to write a song, write something down that comes out of it. One of the songs that was written for Worship Live and has come into the First Flight Feathers songbook, which is a collection of material from there, is the one we're going to sing now. You'll know the tune. It's Streets of Laredo, I'm afraid. Lots and lots of different songs written to Streets of Laredo. But the first line might give you a hint of it. Imagine a world where our leaders aren't liars. And it's taken from many of the great prophets, like the prophet Isaiah, who forecast that one day there may be a world in which corruption is no more, where there is justice, and where there is no more war. So we sing together this hymn, Imagine a World. So let's take those imaginings and just for a few moments bring them before God in our prayers. Let us pray. Loving God, we've heard the voice of the earth calling out in anguish. We've heard the cry of a mother whose child is ill. We've heard Jesus' response. We've heard the prophet's response. Imagine. And so, loving God, we pray now for this world in which we live. We pray for those whose voices are silenced, for those who live in fear and suffering, for those for whom Mother's Day is a time of hurt, a time of grief. We pray for mothers who are fearful for their children. Loving God, you call us to be a voice, to speak out those imaginings of our hearts and the hearts of the prophets, to speak out the love of Jesus for all those who suffer and are hurt. We ask our prayers now, our prayers for others and for ourselves. In a moment of quietness, bring before God the prayers of your heart, your deepest prayers for yourself, and your prayers for others whose names are known to you. In the face of suffering and corruption and violence, in the face of our own and others' needs, Tuma Mina, Lord, send me, send us. In Jesus' name, amen. We could have sung Tuma Mina, but enough in one service already, hey? So a little bit more thinking, and then we'll get the children to come back in. So let me just focus now on this woman coming to Jesus, the Syrophoenician woman whose story was set read so beautifully to us and with such feeling. The feeling was there. Her voice should have been silenced. I mean, nobody wanted... Oh, I've forgotten the... We'll have the choir item after this. Is that all right? I'm glad you walked down then, because I knew I was going to forget that choir item. We'll have it after this, okay? That's okay. So imagine this, the woman then, she's there, she comes to Jesus. She's a woman, she's not supposed to speak at all, really, in the society of the time. She's a Gentile, she's a Greek, and so she's not supposed to come to Jesus. And in fact, the disciples tell him to shut her up. Don't let her speak. But Jesus listens, and Jesus hears her. And so Jesus is challenged by the woman. He says to her, it's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. And she said, just a minute. Even the dogs have something to eat. There's a chance there. And so Jesus reaches out to her, and her daughter is healed. This woman's love is so great that she comes to Jesus against all the odds. But Jesus doesn't turn her away. He listens. I've kind of spent my whole adult life trying to hear people into speech, mainly through publishing and mainly through hymn writing, encouraging other people to write hymns. I'm writing the Hymn Society 100th anniversary T-shirt, and at the moment we're involved in a hymn competition. So we've got hymn writers, composers, anybody who would like to put pen to paper or fingers to keyboard, then Google the Fred Pratt Green Trust Hymn Competition, and it'll take you right there. And so we're encouraging people to lift their voices, to bring their voices, to speak, to sing, to write, to enable others to sing. And it's such a privilege, such a pleasure to do that. When I first saw that hymn that we just sung, I thought, oh, I don't know if I dare ever ask anyone to sing that, but I've tried it out in various different places. And so far, it's moved us to what Fred Pratt Green calls a more profound alleluia. Worship moves us to a more profound alleluia. And that's the theme of our hymn competition. And it's the theme that Fred Pratt Green and others call us to, that our worship is not just for us, it's not just for people to gather together, it's to move us, to change us, to transform our lives. Just before the service, the prayer in the vestry, in the photocopier room, or whatever it is, was that our lives may be changed, we may be set on fire by our act of worship today. Each time God speaks to us, and each time we're challenged to listen. What I'd like to challenge you to today is this: to listen to the many voices. To listen like Jesus did, to the people who are silenced, to the people whose voices are hard to hear. When you're listening to the news or watching it or however you consume your news in these days, try to listen for the voices that are not being heard. There's enough shouting in the news, and if you get your news on Facebook or one of the social media, you really are having it filtered to you by your own voice. You're only hearing the sort of thing that you tend to hear. To be more open, to listen. And then to come back to the story of the Syrophoenician woman. To listen like Jesus to the people that are all around us. To listen to family and friends. As a mother, sometimes, at the best, listens to the children. To listen and then see what happens when that voice is listened to. To listen and to let the voice speak to you and engage with it. We tend, when we're listening to other people, to be working out our own reply. Yes? If you're listening to someone, they're telling you a story, I'm thinking, I've got a better story than that. I know what I'm going to say. I don't agree with you. I'm going to answer like this. I'm thinking. I'm going to answer this way. But Jesus deep listens to her. And he does that to all sorts of people. So it's an effort to do that kind of deep listening. But if we're there with that story of Jesus and the Syrophoenician woman, nobody else wants her story heard. They think, as Jesus says, they think of someone like that as no better than a dog. Not really a human being at all. And we tend to do that to other people. Don't you? I don't think of other people as fully human as myself. As the South African people are saying, don't just listen to people who speak like you or talk like you or look like you. But if we're open and engage in a conversation with others, then that conversation, first of all, challenges us and it informs us. So that's what it's like to be in that position. So that's what it's like to feel like that. And then gradually, we enter into a conversation. Jesus entered into conversation with the Syrophoenician woman. And as his life, as her life was changed, so the lives of the people standing around in that house were changed. They saw Jesus engaging with someone they didn't want him to speak to. And so they began to understand. So when they went out into the world after the death and resurrection of Jesus to speak the gospel, they went beyond their normal boundaries. They just took the gospel out into all the world and talked to people and listened. If you go away with that image in your mind of the Syrophoenician woman, let that challenge you. One day let that come back to you in the coming week and think, hang on a minute. Jesus listened to someone like this. I'm going to listen and then see what happens. So we're going to listen now to the choir. I'm sorry. And you're going to sing?
God's choir.
God's choir. It was God's choir. Yes. And you're going to sing? The children will join us and we'll see what they have for us.
Jesus, singing.
be allowed to clap. Yes? And that's a perfect ending to that particular bit of the service, because if you listen hard enough, it'll be angels that you hear singing. So listen for the angels. Now, I think... there's some things gathering at the back of the church there. Are you going to come? Is there more to come? That's great. Lovely, lovely. So do you want to come and tell us what you've been doing and what's going to happen? Go on. They're saying to each other, go on, go on. Yay. So you have got gifts. Yes.
Mother's Day.
Hang on.
Mother's Day.
Now, say it into there. The gifts are for?
Mother's Day.
Mother's Day. You'd never have guessed. And you're going to give them to?
All of the women in the church for Mother's Day.
Lovely. Thank you very much. It's a butterfly. I've got a butterfly anyway. Have you? Have all of God's children got a butterfly? Yes, all of God's women children. Yes, right. And a lovely Mothering Sunday. Is it a bookmark? Yes, that's fabulous. In a lovely tied-up bag. So I will take that with great pleasure. Thank you. Oh, it's soap. Don't eat the butterfly. That's worth knowing, isn't it? It's a very pretty butterfly. So I will make we can make use of that butterfly tomorrow morning, probably. Okay, that's lovely. Thank you very much. And happy Mothering Sunday to everybody here. And well done for coming along, because there's all sorts of other things that people might be doing on Mothering Sunday. We've been staying... because Chris and I are going on to another event straight after the service. We stayed at the Premier Inn, and I'll tell you, it's full of mothers. They're all there with all their families. They were all there at dinner last night, and they were all there at breakfast this morning, elbowing us out of the way. You know what mothers are like, you know? They're children in there. But that was fabulous. So it's a time of celebration and a time to be together. And for any for whom it is a time also of difficulty, a difficult time or a time of grieving, then we hold people in our hearts as well and all of our family lives. So we're going to close with a very traditional Mothering Sunday hymn, which is, "Now thank we all our God, who from our mother's arms has blessed us on our way."
Shall we close by saying the words of the grace together? Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen.